Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Steele Podcast Quick Takes. Pleasure having you along with us for a quick take on where we are right now as we wind down the Republican convention after the week of the Democratic convention and just take stock in where we are and what's happening. And the sobering realities of what's happening in Wisconsin and all across the country as families still are reeling from COVID-19. And it got me thinking about leadership and what it means and how we approach this election. How are you approaching this election? What are the standards that you are setting for the leadership? What premium are you putting? What qualities are you putting on the leadership of the president and Joe Biden? And I can't help but think about the words of Dr. King, and it moved me to make an important decision, which some of you probably have heard about. And what Dr. King said was, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter." And what that said to me and what it forced me to ask myself was, what matters to you? What matters to you right now? How are you, as you're looking at the qualities of these two men and you're thinking about the premium that you're putting on their leadership, what matters to you? And that, of course, got me thinking about my teenage years and all the troubles that we were going through in the 1970s with Watergate and the Vietnam War, the social and sexual revolutions, and you know, the aftermath of the death of Dr. King, and just all of these things are sort of pulling and tugging. And I was saying to myself, well, the 1970s, yeah, America was changing. The idealism of the 60s was getting its ass kicked by the trials of Watergate and Vietnam and all of that. And out of that, for me as a young man, I heard this full-throated expression of America that had a philosophical conservative bent to it by a man named Reagan. And I know a lot of folks, you know, have their issues with Reagan. But I'm talking about a 17-year-old who was just beginning to take these things, these matters of politics and the country, and realizing, hey, I have a role I can play here. And listening to both parties, listening to the leadership of both parties, and it just struck a chord with me. And I know it seems strange to a lot of people today that a 17-year-old black kid growing up in inner city D.C. could find himself, his values, his priorities, his beliefs reflected in what he heard from a Republican Party and its leaders whose experiences and backgrounds were so very different from his own. And from that, I moved into the party and got involved and staked my claim and went on to become more active and try to be a full participant. And there were issues. There's no doubt about it. Both parties have issues, folks. Please don't pretend like they don't. Please don't sit there with that big old plank in your eye looking at me going, So anyway, we won't get into that. That's a different conversation. We'll save that one for another quick take. But I got involved and I started doing things. And in the life that I spent advancing Republican principles and ideals, I had the privilege to do so when it wasn't very popular to do. But I saw an opportunity to advance those Republican principles in a new way, to go a bit against the grain, to push back on the establishment mindset within the party and the stereotyped view of a black Republican outside of it. And yet with all of those efforts and the bona fides of having been county, state, national chairman, a Republican elected official, it's not enough today. Something more is required. Something greater is required. And that is fealty to Donald Trump. And over the last few years, I've watched Republicans lose their voice on things that mattered as they bent the arc of the Republican Party towards the baser motives of one man who was neither a Republican nor a conservative. And more of the men and women who once stood on that front line of moving the party into the future were forced to retreat from that future and watch silently in fear of tweets and nicknames. Watch Donald Trump turn the party from an honorable political movement rooted in principle and core philosophies into a cult of his personality. Instead of fighting for that future, Republicans gave credence to a man who traffics in conspiracies, fear, racism, xenophobia, misogyny, and believes that he, and only he alone, can fix it, solve it. And that in the end, he can write the Constitution into his own image. Now, what many inside and outside the party fail to understand is our lack of standing with the American people is not the fault of our ideals or the principles we espouse when we were in the business of espousing them, but rather our failure to stand up and stand out against the arrogance of power and the erosion of our principles. So this wholesale capitulation of all things to Trump has exposed the gap between our rhetoric and our values to the point that with the American people, our credibility has completely snapped. But it's not just a problem of values, folks. You know that. Most reasonable people share what I think are fundamentally Republican and, yes, conservative values. We can have that debate, but we don't do that anymore. We just point fingers and say, I hate you because you don't agree with me, or I hate you even more because you don't like Trump. But this is also about our country. We believe our system of government is among one of the greatest achievements in history, especially in terms of building a society that respects the rights to life and liberty. And we believe America is a force for good in the world, even as we acknowledge that our history, that's not perfect, right? We know that. Okay, we're big boys and girls. We know it's messed up. But we still believe the rights of individuals should be treated with the utmost respect. And we believe in the value of freely formed communities. And as I look back on that time, and then I remembered coming into the party and making a personal commitment to declare definitively the future of the party would be put on a footing that embrace the future and would move into that future, which meant, hey, we're done with this Southern strategy bullshit. And so set about making that very clear, that that Southern strategy of Nixon, coupled with the Daniel Patrick Moynihan theory of benign neglect, while it was politically shrewd, it was morally wrong. And it should be no secret to Republicans and this president that America has changed and continues to do so, and we cannot hold on to that strategy. And so my hope was at the time that the party would move away from its past failures and embrace a different path. But we didn't. So as Trump is a continues to infect the actions and expressions of Republicanism, I reflect on things that matter. So at this very moment, for me, it matters that our Republic rather, is teetering on the brink of nationalism and authoritarianism. It matters that our president openly suggests that he won't accept the results of a free and fair election. It matters that the president has actively undermined our democratic processes and the institutions which support them. It matters that the president engages in efforts to hijack our election, weaken our franchise, and deal a fatal blow to the experiment that has been the American experience. And as I've reflected on these matters of leadership, decency, constitutional norms, I have to ask myself two questions. First, would I want my sons? How about, would you want your daughters out there, folks, and your sons to treat others the way our president treats people? And second, is America and her citizens better off today? Not just financially, right? I'm not just, you know, it all doesn't break down to money, people. It just doesn't. But as citizens, are we better off under this leadership? Is our Constitution safe? Are our values at least considered, respected? And the answer is no. This party and this president are a long way from the one that spoke to the ideals of that 17-year-old kid. And while I still hold out hope that voice is consistent with the radical nature of Lincoln Republicanism, which I am an adherent, that it will give rise to a fresh approach to meet the challenges we face now. Folks, I will continue to be one of those voices, hopefully, and continue to be a Republican for as long as I can. Like I said, I'm a Motel 6 kind of guy. I'm on the front porch with the light on. But I know it's not going to happen under this president. And that is why I joined the Lincoln Project. To work alongside my fellow Republicans in an effort to restore fidelity to the Constitution and to defeat Donald Trump. It ain't complicated, because it matters. Thank you, guys. That's the quick take. I'll catch you guys for a full episode of the Michael Steele Podcast next time.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.